Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the souls of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us, who know you now by faith, to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the richless, boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God, in its rich variety, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God, in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If there's any image that captures this time of year perfectly for me, it's the sad sight of a Christmas tree dumped on the curb. You see them everywhere. Just driving around town, you can see them in just about every neighborhood, piles of them in some places. Some with limp strands of tinsel still clinging to the needles. And these days, as you go along, you see people pulling wreaths off of their doors, chucking poinsettias into the dumpster, or unplugging and pulling down the lights draped on their hedges and around their door frames. The traffic on I-10 or 295 or 95 will let you know that the holiday visitors are headed home, clogging up the roadways with their race back to their regular lives. There's no mistaking it. Christmas is coming to a close. It's tempting to wrap up our Christmas mindset with the decorations, to put away the good feelings of the season along with the elf on a shelf and the ornaments. But then, just when we thought it was over, along comes Epiphany. Just when we thought it was time to get on with our lives, along come the Magi, strangers from the East, with a question that hangs over this last Christmas moment. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? If our answer is wrapped in tissue paper in a box and stuffed back up in the attic until next year, wrong answer. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? Where have we put Jesus Christ since Christmas? In the mind of our Western world, the Christmas season is a time for sentiment and family and sudden bursts of generosity. We feel the urge to slip on an apron and bake. Maybe we give gifts to strangers, volunteer at a soup kitchen, or send out an extra check to that favorite charity. We give gifts to the postman and wish Merry Christmas to strangers on the street. We offer warm greetings to people who we might normally go out of our way to avoid. We cry at the end of It's a Wonderful Life and get a lump in our throat when Ebenezer Scrooge hugs Tiny Tim at the end of A Christmas Carol. And we remember for just a little while what this season is all about. So often, though, when the decorations come down, so does our goodwill. Christmas is over, the holiday is done, vacation is finished, it's back to the daily grind. Maybe that's why the Magi appear on the scene here and now. We need to be asked, now more than ever, where is the newborn King of the Jews? Where is Jesus Christ in our world and in our hearts and in our lives? Have we forgotten the deeper meaning of the season? Have we lost track of Jesus? These Magi, the Gospel tell us, had to search for him. They had to go out and seek him. This newborn king wasn't where they expected him to be. They didn't find him in the palace with the puppet King Herod. They had to go outside the city and travel further, out to an out-of-the-way place, guided only by the light of a star. And there they found him, in a humble setting, with only his mother. My wife spotted a sign a few days ago. It might have been one of those signs with the movable letters that you see in front of so many churches on the road. And the sign said, "Wise men still seek Jesus." And I thought, And it got me thinking about these wise men of the gospel story. Now, these wise men, I can tell you for sure, were definitely not Jews. In fact, in one of the commentaries I read when preparing this sermon, it described them as Gentiles in the extreme. Because they were astrologers, star readers, probably from Persia or Babylonia. They weren't people steeped in the Torah, though they may certainly have had some passing knowledge of the religion and scriptures of their neighbors to the west. And they definitely had an interest in the possibility of a new ruler for Israel that they had read in the rising of that star. They followed that star's light, knowing it would lead them to the newborn King of the Jews, so that they might pay him homage. Seeking Jesus is at the very center of who we are as Christians. We can often get comfortable thinking, well, I'm baptized and confirmed, and I attend church regularly, and sometimes I volunteer. But even those of us who would stand in front of the entire world and proudly declare that we are Christians should remember to seek Jesus. We should seek Jesus like those strangers from the East, always striving toward the light, every day. Now, we might ask, what exactly was it that those wise men were looking for when they followed that star? What drew them to seek the newborn king of the Jews? I think the answer can be found in the gifts they brought to the Christ child when they paid homage to him. Matthew's gospel tells us that these three gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Traditionally, these gifts have been seen as symbolic of the roles that Jesus took on when he came into the world on Christmas in that lowly stable. The first gift was gold, a gift worthy of royalty. Christian tradition and the fathers tell us that this gift of gold represented Christ's kingship over the world. The wise men were seeking a king, a ruler. And the same instinct lives in us today. We are all seeking the one thing that gives our lives meaning, that one thing that's something to live for. And in our materialistic world, the ruler of our lives has often become the amassing of more wealth, more stuff, more prestige. I'm here to tell you that all of those are false rulers. They draw us away from one another. They draw us away from our families and away from our communities. Seeking material wealth, I promise you, will never bring peace of heart, mind, and soul. I believe, and many people have heard me say, no one will ever find themselves lying on their deathbed thinking, oh, if I'd have just spent a couple of more days at work, or if I had just been able to buy that 60-inch television. Those aren't the things that people think as they exit our world. Seeking Christ brings peace. If Jesus is the king of our lives, if he is the thing that gives meaning to our lives, then he will draw us closer to one another. Remember, the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the only thing that can really bring peace into our lives. Love of God and love of every other child of God. The second gift the Magi brought was frankincense. It's a hardened resin or sap from a particular plant. And frankincense has been traded in the Arabian Peninsula and in North Africa for more than 5,000 years. In fact, a mural depicting stacks of frankincense in trade can be found on the walls of the temple of an ancient Egyptian queen who died nearly 1,500 years before Christ. This hardened resin is used as incense. And in particular, it was one of the consecrated incenses used in the Jerusalem temple. It was used mixed in and to accompany the meal offering. It was seen as a symbol of the divine name and as a representation of the people's prayers rising to God on high. Christian tradition holds that it was given to the Christ child as a sign of his divinity, because here was an incense that was offered to God, and the Magi were offering it to the baby Jesus. Those wise men 2,000 years ago were seeking the divine. But we still seek the divine. We want to find the source of all things and to know that there is a creator who loves us and cares about what happens to us. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to reunite us with the Creator of the universe when we had fallen away and, as the Eucharistic prayer says, become subject to evil and death. One of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, made a very good argument for Christ's divinity. He said, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." That is the one thing we must not say, Lewis says. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He's not left that open to us. He did not intend to. We seek the holy, the divine. We need God. Christ Jesus is the answer to that need. Finally, the wise men brought Jesus the gift of myrrh. This is another plant resin that can be used as incense, but because it was used in the mummification process in ancient Egypt, Christian tradition tells us that it was brought to symbolize Christ's eventual death, that his crucifixion was inevitable from the moment of his birth. As hard as it is at this time of the year, when we associate the name of Jesus with the infant first laid in a manger and then visited by and worshipped by the wise men of the East, Christ's death is still a very important part of the story of God's reaching out to us in his incarnation. I've been asked many times since I came to St. John's 6-7 months ago now, why I wear a crucifix rather than a cross. Some folks, like my own mother, mind you, my mother says the same thing to me, say, Jesus is alive. He's no longer on the cross. And I can agree with that. I believe, though, that it's too easy for us to look at an empty cross and forget the suffering, the pain that Christ was willing to experience for us. I wear the crucifix because it reminds me, and I hope it reminds every one of you who see it hanging here around my neck, that you, in the heart and mind of God, are someone worth dying for. Where is Jesus in our lives? This is a time to put away the ornaments and the lights, but it is not a time to put away Christ. This is a time to remember what his coming meant to our world, to remember that he is the answer to those things we as human beings seek, and to hold on to the sense of charity and generosity, wonder and joy that are all the hallmarks of the Christmas season. I'm sure you've all read or heard in the last few months the phrase, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Well, that's just the beginning. We need to keep him in every day, in every season. And remember that if we are wise women and men, we still seek him.
Let us stand and affirm our faith by saying the creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation,
he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit,
garment from the Virgin Mary.
In this season of Epiphany, we remember the wise ones whose journey by the brightest star's light brought them to the light of the world. Let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For the people of God throughout the world and for all of us gathered here together, that we might will learn how God wants us to live, let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For our president, for the leaders of every nation, and for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace, let us pray together saying, Christ be our light. For our families, friends, and neighbors, for all who we love, those who live and those who have died, let us pray together saying, Christ be our light. For all who are sick, sad, hungry, afraid, alone, or in any kind of trouble, that they will be helped and comforted, let us pray together, saying, Christ be our light. For what is in our hearts today, we ask you to hear us, God.
Let us pray for peace in the Middle East, an end to the violence in Ferguson, for the victims of flooding in Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines, and for those who lost their lives on the Air Asia flight.
For all that we have and all that we share, we thank you, God.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear us what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions. We pray not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know, and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins. You alone. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you into eternal life. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, welcome, and good morning, and happy Epiphany. A couple of days early, but we wanted to celebrate it together with all of you, so we moved it back to Sunday. If there are any visitors who are with us, new time, first time worshiping with us, you're very welcome. We're so happy to have you here. If you raise your hand up real high, They'll bring you some information, a little bag with a little gift and some information in it, and let you know about all of the fun stuff happening here at St. John's. Three little announcements. If you'd like to help feed the homeless at Sulzbacher tomorrow, it's tomorrow. You can see your bulletin jacket for information on it. But Celicia Jones, Young Jones, wanted me to mention very specifically that if you'd like to come help with the preparation of the meal, to be at the back door at 2, and if you'd like to be there to help serve the meal, you'd be at the door at 5. Those were the specific times. Look inside your bulletin, you'll see information on our new classes, our new Wednesday evening class schedule. And that starts this coming Wednesday, the 7th of January. And then most important of all, if you requested envelopes for your pledge, they're available and they're in the back there in the little cloister area as you come into the sanctuary. So pick those up and take them home with you and fill them up. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, and the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we are sinners in your sight.
Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts, sanctify them by the Holy Spirit, to be the body and the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate the resurrection as we await his day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this holy communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us be in peace. Hallelujah.
The gifts of God to you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world of peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and sinfulness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your minds and hearts in the knowledge of God and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God the Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.